Chapter 22. The Vonnegut dropped out of light speed, and Arcade suddenly filled the cockpit viewscreen. It stood out from the other planets in the area because it wasn't coded to look real. All of the neighboring planets were perfectly rendered, with clouds, continents, or impact craters covering their curved surfaces. But Arcade had none of these features because it was home to the Oasis's largest classic video game museum, and its appearance had been designed as a tribute to the vector graphic games of the late 70s and early 80s. The planet's only surface feature was a web of glowing green dots similar to the ground lights on an airport runway. They were spaced evenly across the globe in a perfect grid, so that, from orbit, Arcade resembled the vector graphic Death Star from Atari's 1983 Star Wars arcade game. As Max piloted the Vonnegut down to the surface, I prepared for the possibility of combat by charging up my armor and buffing my avatar with several potions and nanopacks. Arcade was both a PvP zone and a chaos zone, which meant that both magic and technology functioned here. So I made sure to load up all of my combat contingency macros. The Vonnegut's perfectly rendered steel loading ramp lowered to the ground, standing out in sharp contrast against the digital blackness of Arcade's surface. As I stepped off the ramp, I tapped a keypad on my right wrist. The ramp retracted, and there was a sharp hum as the ship's security system activated. A transparent blue shield appeared around the Vonnegut's hull. I gazed around at the horizon, which was just a jagged green vector line, denoting mountainous terrain. Here, on the surface, Arcade looked exactly like the environment of the 1981 game Battle Zone, another vector graphic classic from Atari. In the distance, a triangular volcano spewed green pixels of lava. You could run toward that volcano for days and never reach it. It always remained at the horizon. Just like in an old video game, the scenery never changed on Arcade, even if you circumnavigated the globe. Following my instructions, Max had set the Vonnegut down in a landing lot near the equator in the eastern hemisphere. The lot was empty, and the surrounding area appeared deserted. I headed toward the nearest green dot. As I approached, I could see that it was actually the mouth of an entrance tunnel, a neon green circle 10 meters in diameter, leading below ground. Arcade was a hollow planet, and the museum exhibits were all located beneath the surface. As I approached the nearest tunnel entrance, I heard loud music emanating from below. I recognized the song as "Pour Some Sugar on Me" by Def Leppard, off their Hysteria album. Epic Records, 1987. I reached the edge of the glowing green ring and jumped in. As my avatar plummeted down into the museum, the green vector graphic theme disappeared, and I found myself in high-resolution, full-color surroundings. Everything around me looked completely real once again. Below its surface, Arcade housed thousands of classic video arcades, each one a loving recreation of an actual arcade that had once existed somewhere in the real world. Since the dawn of the Oasis, thousands of elderly users had come here and painstakingly coded virtual replicas of local arcades they remembered from their childhood, thus making them a permanent part of the museum. And each of these simulated game rooms, bowling alleys, and pizza joints was lined with classic arcade games. There was at least one copy of every coin-operated video game ever made down here. The original game ROMs were all stored in the planet's Oasis code, and their wooden game cabinets were each coded to look like the antique originals. Hundreds of shrines and exhibits devoted to various game designers and publishers were also scattered throughout the museum.